like to bring to order the regular meeting, special meeting of the Water and Wastewater Committee. And I would ask that we could have roll call, please.
Roll call's been taken. Let the record reflect with Director, everyone is present with Director Porter joining remotely due to a medical emergency.
Hello, Ashley. Can you hear us?
Hello. Yeah, I can hear you. Sorry.
That's okay. Okay, so this is the time for public comment. Is there anybody online besides Ashley?
Mark.
Okay. If there's anybody that has a comment that they would like to make about water, wastewater, that's not an agendized item, this would be the time for you to speak. I hope that was understood. Did anybody raise their hand online?
There are no hands raised.
Okay. Anybody in the audience that's live want to say? Terry, come on up.
Is there going to be anybody talk about the dollar amount for the site survey thing for this new proposed thing out here?
Okay.
We
have a presentation on that. It's an agendized item, so that will be addressed.
Yeah, I didn't know. I couldn't find it.
That's why I didn't call you up, because I knew where you were going with that.
Okay,
no problem, Terry. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Okay. Any other public comment? Hearing none, I'll close public comment. Motion to approve the minutes.
I make a motion to approve.
And I will second that, and that means the motion carries. No updates. Moving on to discussion items. Are you guys ready? Are they ready, Kelly? Bear with us a minute, Ashley. We got a technical glitch here. Okay, why don't you throw that up on the screen. The item number one is discussion and possible feedback going back to the district office. And we have people here from Mobile Modular who have a couple of different options that they want to share with us and a couple of different ideas for us to look at as a committee. So come on up and introduce yourself.
All right. Hi. My name is Joshua Dean from Mobile Modular. And Kevin, feel free to hurry me along or cut me off or do whatever needs to be done for the meeting. But just wanted to give a brief introduction of our company.
Okay.
And I'm part of the Custom Modular Solutions Division of Mobile Modular. And our focus is on delivering custom modular solutions to customers rather than site building a building. We can help to expedite the project, and still, as you can see from this one example right here, provide a high architectural finish. Of course, our goal is to meet with the financial needs and to balance the budget and the design of the project. So just to read this, well, we can actually skip over. There's going to be probably too much text, and I apologize for that. This is kind of I'll hurry this along so we get to your specific project. But these are some examples of various modular solutions for industry. Look at the top right corner, government. That's actually kind of similar to one of the two options that we're proposing for this building. So we go to the next slide.
Well, that looks really similar to Shelter School, actually. Go ahead.
These are just additional types of modular buildings and some more examples that for examples of different kinds of projects. So we just go to the next slide here, and we have capability to provide a design build and full turnkey services. So start to finish on your project, we can provide that, and that's what we're proposing. Construction management, foundation design and installation, utility design and installation, these are all going to be part of our proposal and what we're offering. Steps and canopies, the steps wouldn't apply to this project. Full site development, so we can go to the next one. And again, if anybody has any questions on just our company or anything like that, please let me know. Sourcewell is a cooperative agreement that it's a publicly bid contract that we were awarded that allows us to contract with public entities such as this one. Of course, everybody has every city or county or public organization has their own rules, and so that evaluation on using Sourcewell is up to several contracts using Sourcewell since we've been awarded the Sourcewell contract. So that was what
public agencies in Contra Costa County.
I don't know that we've done any in Contra Costa
just,
County.
Just asking.
Used Sourcewell. So,
right. That's fine.
Yeah. And we can go to the next slide. So here is the first option that was proposed, and this was based on the architect's design that was previously engaged for this project, and I think somewhat modified to utilize modular construction. So just want to point out a few things about this this option. As you can see, the intent is a permanent modular building. Once this is finished, it will have really no different feel from a traditional stick-built construction. There are a combination of exterior finishes. We have stone veneer and steel siding, as well as a hardy panel. The roof will be constructed on site with trusses, and the steel metal roof would be installed on site. The reason that this option A is going to be more expensive on like a per square foot basis is partially because of the higher percentage of the project that is being completed on site at prevailing wage rates. So part of the benefit of modular construction is not only the time savings from delivery to completion, but also the more that we can do in the factory, the lower the cost go. It's kind of an inverse relationship where the higher the finish is, the more likely it's going to be completed on site. So that's part of the case here with this building. The approximate size of this offering is 7,090 square feet, and which is right around $399 per square foot. Now, that is just the building.
How many square feet?
7,000.
Is that comparable to what AT's? What was that? Was that a 7,000 square foot building?
I believe so.
I thought it was 50 something.
Almost 6, but not.
Okay.
I
don't see anything more there than what was in the other one, though.
Yeah, so. No, neither do I.
In fact, it's probably less because they have to fit it into the Lego setup.
Mm-hmm.
To make it fit. I mean, you had it. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So for modular construction, this is actually a fairly snowflakey, unique, you know, kind of a layout. There are 13 mods, and there are nine different mod sizes. To get back to some of the specifications that would come with this. Split system, mechanical system. The interior would be tape texture and painted drywall, carpet tile, the primary floor covering. And so at that per square foot price, that brings the budget. These are rough order of magnitude prices at this stage to $3,772,000 for the building, right? So right now we're talking about two building options, two which are on two sites. So actually, let's go to the next slide and kind of, this is roughly where my understanding of where this would go here on the site. Now, the orientation can change or, you know, anywhere you want it, but this is my understanding roughly where that is going to go. Now,
not far off.
Having looked at just walked outside, you know, a moment ago and kind of reviewing it, there's going to have to be some removal of some of those trees, I think, in order to fit this building on that site. But part of what we would be offering a full turnkey proposal would be to completely develop the site plans. So that's option A. Now, if you go to the next slide, what we discussed was taking this kind of this highlighted portion of the building and developing a new plan based on that. And we had a lot of back and forth conversations, and on the next slide you'll see kind of the progress of that, which we kind of was along the way, and then go to the next slide we'll see sort of sort of, you know, what the final kind of the result, and we'll, we can see the floor plan a little larger in a second. But you see, obviously, that this is for the option B to try to save on some of the costs. The idea for this option, this building, would be to place it over where the current office modular is, the water treatment plant, and remove the existing building and place this one in, on that same site. So there would be less site development required for this option, more of the building completed in the factory, but still a very nice finished building. And so what we have on this one, the exterior is lap siding with a stucco hardy panel siding above that, the lap siding wainscot. The roof on this one is pardon me, is flat with a rubber EPDM roofing, and the rooftop heat pumps for the mechanical system rather than the split system. So mechanical system is going to be comparable in its performance with the other building. The approximate size of this option that we're looking at is 5,520 square feet. Our preliminary budget review, rough order of magnitude estimate for the project was $311 per square foot. And just I share this per square foot numbers just to kind of give a point of reference of comparison between the two. The other one was $399, this was $311. And that comes out to, for the building, $2,290,000, kind of saying give or take 10%.
Time out. Throwing a lot of numbers at me, real
sorry.
Quick. Hold on.
Yes, sir.
May I ask? The per square foot for option A was how much?
It was
$399.
Yeah.
And it was approximately 7,000 square feet.
Yeah, that's correct.
The price, the per square foot for option B was $311 for about 5,500 square feet. Mm-hmm. What were the totals
on? The total on that for the building is, that was $2,290,000.
2.2 mil.
Yeah.
And the other one was
3.7
mil.
Yeah, rough order of the magnitude of pricing that we should be able
to. Does that pricing include any site work, off-site work?
Good question. So the pricing for both of them includes the foundation and the utility connections.
But no flat work, no parking, no any of that stuff?
No, I was going to, yeah, so.
So to go back, I probably jumped ahead. So
no,
go ahead.
It's totally fine, yeah. So on this one, we also, and this, all these things are flexible, but for the pricing, that for putting this pricing model together, we had carpet tiles as well, but instead of using finished drywall, tape, mud tape and texture, and painted drywall, we put in a pre-finished product, vinyl wrap gypsum, which is a common product used in a lot of modular buildings. So that
how's the how does that last compared to sheetrock?
Well, it is sheetrock underneath the vinyl. So what
happens if you want to hang a picture on it? Does it pierce the vinyl?
If you want to hang a picture on it, yeah, you're going to be putting a hole through the vinyl.
Yeah. Okay.
So what will happen is if you take a picture down, and if it's a small enough hole, you can do a little touch up paint or put some caulking in there. But over the long haul, you're right that traditional drywall is going to be easier to restore. You can paint the vinyl in the future. That's been done. But this type of finish is a higher end finish, a higher cost finish, because it requires labor here on site.
Okay.
So those are the differences kind of between the two buildings. But if we want to go to the next slide, I think we will see the larger plan view. You have this slide deck now, so all this will be available for review. So I've been kind of presenting the two building options because these are things that we're able to sort of quantify at this stage. We know how much a building costs. We have a pretty good idea of what the foundation is going to require, so we're able to put together those budgetary numbers. When it comes to the site development, we have to engage in the design first. We have to get an architect on board, and we have one, and we need to have the civil engineer. before we can price the what is going to be required for the site work. So it was my intention before I had this meeting a design agreement proposal for that. Unfortunately, it's still under review and was nearly done, but I had some concerns with some of the pricing that the estimator gave me, and we just wanted to review that further. So I will forward that design proposal agreement as soon as it's complete. But I believe there was a previous design proposal given. I don't want to speak out of turn here, so I'm not supposed to say that. My understanding is that there was a previous design proposal of about $800,000.
Okay.
And so we're going to be we will be certainly under half of that for our design proposal. And we anticipate, if we're just looking for kind of a rough order of magnitude on the site development here versus at the water treatment plant, option A being here. So we'd have the design agreement plus the building cost. And if you factor it in $2.5 million for the site work, that would put the total project at $6.6 million. So we have to confirm those numbers. Obviously, That's for this site. That's for option A. And that's based on
how much did you factor in for site work?
Yeah, okay, that's based on an assumption of $2.5 million for the
two and a half.
Yeah,
that's probably low.
You think that's low?
Well, what things we're finding out we need to take into consideration is once we do that, we got to put electricity in for electric cars. We got to put all that kind of stuff into the parking lot work because we're putting a new parking lot in. So
the intention is to put a new parking lot in, not you.
It's going to need additional parking.
See, that's part of the
unknown. So we have
evaluation that has to be done by the civil engineer and the architect during the design phase. So that's why
okay. No, you're doing great, man. You're doing great. You're working with the information you have. You're doing wonderful.
So that's, I don't recall what we have next, if anything, so there's a better view. I think that for the purposes of the flow of this meeting, maybe it's not really useful to go over the last two slides, which you can let me know. It's a rundown of kind of the process, or a little synopsis of the project, of what we would be providing. So I can discuss that if you'd like, or we can kind of leave.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so there's a lot of, so here's a kind of site view of how everyone would go there, so we can continue on to the, so it's gonna be a much larger building than the current building, which is 36 by 60, and the replacement would be 120 by 50. 40, the width varies. So, sorry, this is not.
Ashley, can you see all the
architect grade drawings right here?
2 seconds. Ashley, can you see all this?
Yeah, I can see it.
Okay,
I'm
good. Do you have anything you want to say?
You asked some of the questions that I have. I'm interested, to see the site work. I think that was one of the questions I had, but you asked that. So, I think I'm good
okay.
right now.
I just want to make sure you're with us. that we're giving you an opportunity to speak is what I meant to say. Okay.
No, so, I'm here. I'm listening.
Okay.
Intently listening.
All right. So that's a huge building, bigger than I expected.
So the current was 60 feet long, and this would be doubling that and creating the width of it.
It's not the entire wide area, though. It's from here.
No, it's right.
There.
That's correct.
So this building's not quite as monstrous as it looks.
Right.
Especially since it narrows down in the back. And I've got it like it's 70 by 50 and like basically 50 by 40, and that equals 5,500.
Okay.
You know the two.
Yeah, it's a 72 by 50 and 40 by 40.
I'm just guessing. Is that right?
That's exactly it. Yeah.
Okay.
72 by 50.
You don't have to look at that. I'm not taking responsibility for it. Okay, go ahead.
All right, so We can go to the next slide, but basically these are words are too small for us to read here. But just to back up and say, what we presented are two building options, and the hope is, or the need is, if we were to be able to proceed with engaging with you guys with this contract, you would have to select which option you want first, and we would have to engage in a design agreement before we can price out the rest of the
stuff. Understood.
Cost.
Only makes sense.
Yeah. So the goal or the hope was to provide you, not just now, but following up to this meeting as well, sufficient information that you need to be able to make an informed decision about that, based on the two options that we're presenting. So the scope of our work would be to, first of all, engage with the architect and civil engineers to evaluate the site, assess all the code requirements for the site, and develop the utility plan. And Shane, you can correct me or add anything else that you feel like needs to be added to that part of it. But and submit to the local authority having jurisdiction for permits for the site. On a parallel track with that, starting a little bit later, we would construct the modular building while the site is being constructed. So the approval process for getting the building approved, which is approved through the state of California and not locally, is much faster typically than any local building permitting process. So we'll have the building approved through the state early on, and go into production so that it's ready to deliver at the same time that the site work is completed. So it's at the moment that the foundation is inspected and approved, we can start setting the...
Start bringing trucks in.
We can do it before that. We can have them here waiting and putting them on to the foundation as soon as it's approved.
I have some questions.
That was what I was going to ask.
Ready? Ceiling height in the building?
9 feet.
Okay. There is one option that we're probably not looking at here, and that is not having a boardroom built out there and continuing to use this as a boardroom, because that would be the option we would use if we did that.
That would be option B.
Well, option B would be, I guess it, well, so here's the deal. If we're putting a building in here, of course it's going to be more expensive because it's a public building. It's got to have better finishes. It's got to look more. You got to do it right. You can't just put, you know what I mean? Over there, it's behind fences. It's behind water tanks. It's behind the finishes aren't as, like you said, you put a flat roof on that one, but you're putting a standing seam roof on this one. Well, standing seam roofs are expensive. So, right? So there's a difference there. We're acknowledging that, correct? You've designed them differently, one for public
and one for the water.
And one for, it's a municipal building that nobody's going to really go in and out of except for our staff. We want the interior to be pretty close to the same because we want the staff to have a nice building to be in. We don't need as extravagant, am I saying this? I don't know if I'm saying this right. As aesthetically pleasing exterior that's going to be a public thing. We wouldn't want that building here.
Right.
Okay. Building B.
Well, I will say that building B would also look nice out here. It's not going to be a bad. You're talking about.
But it's not going to fit into the other construction. You need to have a slope roof on it because we have a slope roof. You don't want to have a flat roof next to a slope.
Right.
Roof.
Yes.
So there's issues there that, and I appreciate your presentation because that's what you did.
That was
it the way we thought about it. Okay. So I don't know if 9 foot's high enough for the boardroom. What's the height right here? Well, what's the height? This is probably only 9 feet, huh?
I would assume this over here was this is going to be 8 feet under there, and up here is.
Yeah. It's in the boardroom especially, we needed it at 9 feet because of the raised dais and then the TVs, and you don't want to be in front of the presentations depending on how it's set up. Mm-hmm. So 9 feet's fine. The first gentleman we spoke to said it was going to be 8 foot ceilings throughout.
That's the typical modular trailer, but I assume that you would not want to put ceiling.
No, it's too claustrophobic, too, for me anyway. It's, yeah, it, we need, we, you don't, it, 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 okay, we're good. 9 foot ceiling is what I want to hear you say. We can make that work. The rest of these things are really things that we have to talk about in committee that really don't necessarily involve you at this point, but I just want to make sure that we have our numbers correct. And then the other thing we have to do is have Mike Uraka, who's not online, who's our one of our city engineers, contracted city engineers, or no, he's an employee, actually, have, as needed, have him give us a same. He's been doing this his whole life. He gave us an estimate on off-site work for here. That included the park. So here's the deal. If we put a building in here, we have to change security and everything because it's exposed to the public. Got to put gates. We got to put parking inside the gates. We have to, for staff to park and that type of thing. So it becomes more expensive. Over there, it's already behind a gate. Mm-hmm. It's only open to staff. It's not open to the public. And therefore, what has to be done for improvements is going to be less than what it is over here. So the actual site improvement work is going to be exponentially less, I believe. And so
you know about the parking situation?
Parking and sidewalks and all that kind of stuff and access to the building. You include that in your price, but you don't even know what to include on this.
So on the option B, that option.
Yeah.
I kind of thought that the people that are currently in that building will be the people that are moving into the new building.
That is correct.
Will there be also additional people moving into the
building? Not yet.
So
there will be.
So if they're parking there now, I'm just saying that this is part of why we think the site building will be a lot less.
That's why it is a lot less. There's
any additional parking.
We may have to add a little bit. We won't know until we get down to the nitty gritty. Yeah. If there's even room, there may not even be room to add anymore. We would probably change the configuration of the parking because we have new tanks going. It's a work in progress over there. We have a new tank that just went in that's 28,000 gallons or something. It's a massive tank. You can almost see it from here. So there's some things to consider, but that is a large plant, and once you're inside the gate, you can park just about anywhere. You could park on the other side of the tanks if you wanted to. I mean, there's enough parking for staff. It's probably not. And it's much more convenient than it is right now because they're parking here and walking all the way over there. So anyway, are you guys in that parking lot, back in that parking lot now? Okay. Ashley, do you have any questions?
No, I'm okay.
Okay. Anything else you think we need to know? Am I missing something here?
No, I was just going to ask if there's anything else that we need to know.
Dina, can you think of what anything I'm leaving out here or anything that we have?
No, just want to know how you want to proceed forward. Do you want me to bring both options for the board to consider? And then obviously we'll bring the contract at that same time.
We have a water, wastewater committee meeting in 2 weeks.
Yes, we
correct.
Do.
Okay, let's discuss that at this, and then if we can't, if we need to, we'll put it on the...
Okay.
Is that... Oh, I'm the chairman now. So, Ashley, does that work for you?
Sorry, yeah, that works for me.
Because I really think we should discuss it a little bit further in committee, so when the board gets it, they're asking questions, we can answer them.
Yeah,
that's fine.
And then if we need to get you to go back to them between those two meetings to answer those questions, and then at that time have them come and give a presentation, and we'll discuss whether we want to make a recommendation or whether we want to let the board see both. Well, we're going to let the board see both options, but I think we should have a recommendation going forward because that's what the committee's supposed to do.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I mean, I think the board needs to see both options.
Right. Exactly. So but even if we recommend one or the other, they still have the opportunity to see them both and say, well, we don't like what you said, which is fine, which is the way it works. Okay, I think we have some pretty good ideas. We understand that there's none of this is contractual at this point, that these numbers aren't set in stone, but you're confident enough in these numbers that they're not going to go crazy on us, correct?
For the building.
Yeah, for the building. Right.
You immediately started talking about your concerns with the site, the site cost, which is why
you want that's a surprise. Surprise.
Yeah. So the building costs, yes, Phil, those are costs that we can be confident, pricing that we can be confident in. And I can also provide, you know, in some proposals in writing.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
From start to finish, how long do you expect it to take? So just curious.
Do you guys have any pull in the building department?
Yeah, not always. It depends. Sometimes.
Well, you'd think we would since we're a public agency, right?
I
can give it a shot.
I meant that seriously, because that will be the longest part of the project, I think.
Okay.
Typically, it's for our permits.
Okay.
So if that part takes a year, then we should be able to have the building done 6 to 8 months after that.
Are you doing the church?
So I'm about right to use him?
Yeah. Are you guys doing the church?
Yeah, he's involved in the project.
How's that going?
It's going well. I've been separated from it, so I don't know the status right now.
Okay.
My close co-worker's there. He hasn't updated me, but from what I've heard, they got...
How many square feet is that project, you know?
That one is 3,200.
Yeah. It's the smaller site.
Yeah, smaller site.
Okay. I don't have anything more. Ashley, do you have any more?
I'm good.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
All right, thank you.
Appreciate your time. We will be coming back with questions and clarifications, and at some point, we may have you doing a site walk with our engineer so he can explain to you what he knows about what needs to be done, because he knows it better than I do.
Great.
And that would be. So we're going to have Mike Rock at the next meeting.
That's a very good idea, Kevin.
Huh?
If you can set that up, that'd be a great idea.
We'll disseminate this over the next couple
for
weeks.
Sure.
Talk about it in the next wastewater meeting, and then decide how to move forward. Okay, thanks, guys.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Do you think, Ashley, when I speak, I'm speaking to you too, and you can stay muted, but do you think we should get Mike involved before the next 2 weeks?
Tomorrow.
Okay.
And then
we needed that same kind of estimate for over there that we have for over here.
Correct. Yeah.
And when I put some rough numbers together, I come up with 3.7 million, 7.2 million for option A. Mm-hmm. That's a very rough number. That's based on Mike Iraq's estimate of off-site work, and that should be fairly accurate. And then I put 1.5 million in upgrades, which is probably heavy, mm-hmm. if we moved it to the current site, which would be 3.7. So you're talking. In my numbers, 3.7 to 7.2, almost double. In fact, almost double to put it here than it is to put it over there. We're not going cheap with anything. We just don't have to be aesthetically pleasing.
Right.
We don't have to have the same expensive roof structures and all that kind of stuff. So, anyway, that being the case, I think we can put that item to rest. Item one, we're done. Okay, item two is... Alan, security cameras.
Yes, sir. Good evening. At a recent board meeting, Director Graves asked that we bring the cameras back for discussion. And at that same meeting, Director Gateau asked that we look at other cameras because we're talking about Flock specifically. I put together a staff report talking about the benefits of utilizing cameras, which I believe we all know. The two different types of cameras that we're utilizing in Discovery Bay are license plate reader cameras and Pentel Zoom type cameras at our facilities that we've tried to do some target hardening. I drove around Discovery Bay with our wastewater manager, and the only site that we were looking at that we felt that needed to be hardening the target was the Newport plant. Water treatment plant. Since we were looking at those, I contacted Flock again, found out some of the products they have and some of the products are developing. I will tell you that since we went into contract with Flock for the 2 years for our plant one and plant two, when we signed that contract, it was $2,500. They're already up to $3,000 in less than a year. So their costs are escalating. discussing this with the rep, telling him what our needs are and so forth. He was talking about a combination of cameras, which I think was being discussed here tonight by Director Graves regarding a recent incident where we were a victim of theft at our Plant 1, where the license plate reader cameras weren't as effective as we wanted them to be, but the camera system that we have there was able to provide us images that we were able to provide the Sheriff's Department. Currently, we have two systems that we're using, two platforms, I should say, Flock, and we have a contract with Denelect. Denelect did come out to Newport and looked at our site. They cannot put their camera system there because their camera system works off internet. They don't work off cell phone technology. I have another vendor coming out hopefully this week to look at that site who does the cell phone technology for like a pan, tilt, zoom type camera. One of the things that both vendors have told me is that when you have these types of systems, typically what's going on now is entities are leasing the equipment. So for example, when we have our Flock cameras, if something should happen to those cameras, they would replace those. We don't have to have that cost. If new technology comes available, they won't necessarily replace them unless there's something wrong with that camera. But they own it. And the way it's explained to me is you're basically purchasing a software contract with them because that is how the information gets to us is through cell phone data.
Alan, because I was involved with Flock cameras in our project that we did over here on Marina Boulevard.
Yes.
My understanding, though, is that as they upgrade equipment, obviously they would, on them, upgrade our equipment because they want it to be copacetic with their upgraded software. So they may come in and put in new cameras at their cost. We wouldn't have to pay for that upgrade. Is that correct?
The vendor told me that if there's nothing wrong with that camera,
right,
and there's still upgraded technology, they won't come in and replace unless something happens to that camera.
Okay. But yeah, I'm sure that's what we were told also. The only caveat to that is at some point there may be a technology change in the cameras that requires it to be changed to meet software or technological upgrades, then it would be on them.
Correct.
As long as we didn't do something that we were liable for with the camera, we don't have to pay for it.
That's correct.
Okay.
The another vendor that I was talking to today was talking about a system similar, I shouldn't say this, they're not license plate readers, they're pan, tilt, zoom, but basically where you would lease the equipment from them, you'd pay a monthly service charge for that, for the cell phone data, as well as the information when you access the cloud to retrieve the data.
Where does it get stored? By them or by us?
It gets stored in a cloud that we go into contract with them with. So it's technically theirs, but okay, they give us a passcode so we can.
Do they have contracts with different police departments so the police can access that information like Flock?
That I do not know, but these are license plate. These aren't license plate readers, so I don't believe they do.
So Flock is not really a license plate. I mean, it's more than a license plate reader. In other words, right now, I have people that have control of our Flock cameras on Marina searching all the time between 11 o'clock last night, or the 17th, until 2 o'clock in the morning on the 18th, and they're looking for a pickup truck driving around down with a wheelbarrow and a generator in the back of it. And that camera will, it doesn't just read license plates.
Correct.
We can isolate. That's how we found Joe's golf cart and Jeff Hull's aqua bike that got stolen. Those cameras found him. Joe paid part of those flights. He got his money back right away.
Sure.
So right now we're searching that database and hopefully, you know, it'd be a crapshoot. But we might find the truck that the guy parked out on the street, and we're assuming he didn't push a wheelbarrow all the way to his house or something, that he had a truck parked on Marina. And then if he went past our cameras and it was visible, then we would have information to bring back to the town, and then the town could, or contact the Sheriff's Department, you know, let you guys contact the Sheriff's Department.
Correct.
So that there is a benefit to having Flock, I'm not trying to sell Flock, really, I have nothing to do with them. But there's a benefit to them in that the police have access to it. When Dina went in there with Cooley, Detective Cooley, today, they were already looking at our Flock cameras that had nothing to do with the town to try to see if they could see anything. They were already going through the files. So there, and then if that happens, they can initiate the arrest. If it's on our personal cameras, and you know more about this than I do from your previous occupation, but it seems to me that if, let's say we catch somebody at Newport on our camera, now, we turn that over to the police, I guess, and they would initiate an arrest, or we have to do a citizen's arrest. I don't know how that would.
It would be a felony, so that they would handle that.
We'd still turn over we'd only turn over the evidence and let them handle it from there.
Correct.
So that doesn't change much. Okay.
Correct.
All right, that's good to know.
So during my conversation with, and you've touched on it, Director Graves, about the benefits of you know, having different types of technology for the cameras, the issue that we're struggling with is, you know, if you have let's say a flock type camera, you know, yeah, you do capture the data of the license plate. As you mentioned, it does capture different distinguishing marks on the vehicle. So that is a good technology. The problem we have at the location we're suggesting it go to is we would be suggesting we have a pan tilt zoom inside the gate, capturing the video of someone entering that property because it's 40, 50 feet off the roadway.
Yeah.
But if you had flock cameras there, you would have to have two different flock cameras going in different directions to capture those vehicles. And together, those two cameras in conjunction with a potential video of catching someone coming in on that driveway and committing a burglary, that would be a benefit. But again, you know, it's costly. That's
well, if we had camera A, whatever that manufacturer happens to be, that you were talking about, this camera that sits and watches the driveway, right? So when they come in, we see them come in.
Correct.
Well, why wouldn't a flock camera be doing the same thing?
Well, a flock camera is going to capture stills where this would.
Oh, really?
Well, they also have what they call a Condor. It's one of their newest models. And they, again, use cell phone technology, so that would catch them coming in the driveway. I will tell you that, you know, since we're looking at different vendors now, because the previous vendor, Plant One, doesn't have the technology that we want, if we were to go to another vendor, then we would have three different platforms we would be looking for video on.
Yeah. I see. I understand. Okay. I don't know enough about it to ask any other questions. Ashley, do you have anything you want to comment on that?
No, I think you answered or asked all the questions that I have.
Okay.
I will say that in talking with that vendor, he did mention that hopefully by the end of this year or the beginning of next year, they're going to have this pan tilt zoom camera. It doesn't have to, it's solar, so you don't have to have the electrician come in and wire it like we would have to do that on Newport. But he said this is what they're hoping it comes out at the end of the year, beginning of 2025.
Flock has solar currently, right?
They do, but not for pan tilt zoom, because you know you can move those, and that's going to take more.
Yeah, ours are all set and they don't move.
Correct.
The ones we have over here on Marina. Okay. I don't know that I should have studied what we did on Marina more and I'd understand it better, but I let somebody else do all the legwork on it. Okay, so thank you for that. Do you have anything more you want to add on? We're probably going to need some clarifying questions at some point.
No,
we don't know enough to ask right now, I don't think.
Okay, no problem.
Thank you for that research, and thank you. Good job. You got us more information than we asked for, and I appreciate that. And you're probably a little less confused than I am, but I'm pretty confused at this point.
There's just different platforms out there.
Yeah.
And I learned through this.
Would you be ready at this point to make a recommendation? Or is there still? No, I don't think so.
I wouldn't want to make a recommendation.
I would agree.
I'm still dealing with another vendor. I want to get some more
information. Okay.
I want to bring back some costs.
Okay.
Because, you know, as I mentioned, you know, Flock has went up $500 a year.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And they're going to continue, in my opinion, to go up, because once you start getting more and more cameras, now you're kind of locked into that. Unless you stop it altogether, then
right. Well, I think, but you probably are going to have that issue with any vendor. I mean, that's just kind of the way they do business. Mm-hmm. So anyway, appreciate it. I feel better about not knowing what to ask because I don't have all the information yet. So thank you for that. Appreciate your diligence on that. Okay. Where are we? Is that it? Mm-hmm. Any future agenda items besides what the obvious? Ash?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to go ahead and adjourn the meeting. Thank you. Thank